Welcome to Inside the Program, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors. I'm Joe Cook, got Eric Nalin. We know it's a big official visit weekend, but the current team is back in action, going through workouts, going through summer off-season drills, and there's already some info coming out that we are going to relay to you here on Inside the Program. So make sure you like the video, make sure you subscribe to the channel, and of course, for the complete picture, for recruiting, for inside team info, for anything happening in the state capitol or in SEC boardrooms, make sure you head to InsideTexas.com and subscribe there. But Eric, the team reported earlier this week for workouts, going through it with Tori Becton, but at the same time, they get to go on the field, work with coaches a little bit. What's their schedule looking like as they start going through the grind with under 3 months until kickoff?
Yeah, after just 1 week of practice, I am more excited about this team than I think I've ever been. Certainly any team I've ever covered at Texas, and I was quite excited about the last two versions of the Texas Longhorns. Workouts have begun in earnest. The coaches wasted no time. Very high-intensity workouts. New players are talking to others and shaking their heads like, wow, we thought we worked at previous schools, but they really work here. You're looking at Monday's weight room and team run, which is team run is different in season. When it's in season, it's literally team run versus defense. In team run in the off season is more about agility drills, moving from station to station. Each drill requires something different of the athlete, working in different directions, and it's extremely fast paced. Tuesdays and Thursdays are two-a-days. You'll have meetings with the coaches, walkthroughs, 7-on-7, and then they come back and they run again. There's a lot of running at Texas, and that's why these guys are usually lean and fast and breaking records at the combine. Wednesday is a bit of an off day. It's team building stuff, taking care of their body, making sure they're getting all the treatment they need to stay working in optimal fashion. And then Friday is probably the one that they all dread. Everybody looks forward to Friday. Some people probably look forward to this video. They do not look forward to Friday. About 4 o'clock this afternoon, they'll go out on the field for a faster version of team run. And of course, at 4 o'clock on a Friday, it's going to be very hot. So that kind of preps them for the season. So that's basically the schedule. But like I said, a lot of what we're hearing right now has me even more confident in my prediction that Texas is going to win it all, just because I hear about the energy, the mindset, and the culture is all tied in these workouts, and it's all promising.
Some of the players that are going through it are coming off of ailments. I don't want to say injury. Some obviously were injured. Some had some bumps and bruises. But two of the big ones that you wrote about earlier on Inside Texas, and encourage people to go look at Team Intel Volume 1 and 2. But you wrote about the Williamses in the defensive backfield. Obviously, there's Derek Williams, who got hurt, I think, in the Oklahoma game last year. And then Jonah, who, if you watch Texas baseball run, you could tell he was probably operating at about 90% or so due to a hamstring ailment. I'm not sure exactly what it was. But for those two guys, important pieces in the secondary, popular pieces, how is their progress?
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe Texas has two guys like that that are basically aliens that, might not even start, at least without a certainty, right? Derek Williams is back right on schedule. We've been saying all offseason, pretty much since he got hurt last fall, that he was expected back in June, and here he is. Still knocking the rust off, for sure. Coming back from a knee injury, you got to learn to trust your body. But he's out there. He's even in 7-on-7, and so he's full go. He is wearing a brace, but, that's just precautionary. Jonah Williams isn't actually participating right now. He got a little bit of a break. Sark's giving him a break. The football team got basically most of all of May off. Outside of doing their own workouts, Jonah was playing baseball. Sark noticing that he's not 100%, and also coming off a long baseball season where Jonah was still supposed to be in high school. He's giving him a little time off. I think Jonah's going to be back at it on Monday. I don't expect him to be going full go right out of the gates, just because there's no point in tweaking a hamstring. This part of the off season. His body's a little bit of a Ferrari. It requires a little extra maintenance. So I think they're all getting used to how to make sure he's working in proper order. But he's back. If Texas played Monday, he would suit up. He'd be ready to go if it came down to it. But I think they're going to be a little precautious with him.
I think you have to recognize he hadn't really had a break in over a year. You go from baseball season at Ball to football, getting ready for that, right, for the tours. in the fall, messes up his collarbone, misses the end of the season, and then goes right into the baseball program.
Think about his past year. He committed to Texas, what was it, like August 25th or something around there. Then he goes in, he explodes onto the scene, has just these, you know, all-time games in Galveston County, then gets hurt. Then he enrolls early, extremely early, even before January at Texas. He's going through football meetings and all that, hanging around the team. Team's getting ready for playoff games. And then he goes straight into baseball, still hanging around the football offices, hanging around the football players. And then once he gets a shot in baseball, he starts showing everybody that he really is the natural out there. And then now, you know, just, he could take a little bit of a break. I think he's earned it.
I think so as well. On the defensive side of the ball, you know, that's where Williams will be playing in the back end. There are a couple guys from Westlake High right down the road who are likely to step into larger roles this year at one position, but both are looking like they could turn into not just starters in one case, but key contributors at depth in the other.
Yeah, I mentioned Colton Vosick in Intel Part 1, Volume 1, about him being back fully healthy, you know, not wearing any brace or anything coming back from a shoulder injury. One source says he's not wearing a brace anywhere, which is, you know, kind of, you know, he's usually had some sort of ailment, one or the other since he got to campus. Right now he looks great and moving like he always has. And then his teammate, high school teammate Ethan Burke, was mentioned in the other installment because we were asked about, you know, what kind of replacement he would be for Baron Sorrell. Obviously not as strong as Baron, but he plays with good leverage at the point of attack. But this source is confident that Vosick is going to make a little bit more noise as a pass rusher just because of his economy of motion. There's no wasted movement with him. He's very savvy as a pass rusher. Now, like Baron Sorrell, like I wrote in the article, there's going to be times he comes off the field on third and long where he's going to be quite upset because now it's time he gets to pin his ears back. But, you know, he's got very good quickness and athleticism for his height and length. And then at the same time, there's no wasted movement. So everybody expects a pretty good year out of Burke, but understands that, you know, there's going to be times he comes off the field in the third down package.
I really like the career trajectory of Burke. It looks like Sorrell's, to be honest. You get to see him maybe in a spot that's conducive to his strengths early, and he grows into where his long-term position is. Got to do that playing Buck. Now gets to do that playing Jack. And one thing I think you wanted to point out, and you grabbed the video and the article, was, you know, he's got play strength. He's got the ability maybe to push some guys in a way that's different than what Sorrell did.
Yeah, it's got really good leverage with his length. Leverage is huge. I mean, leverage, there's a, you know, just look at physics. leverage works the same way on the football field as it does in physics. He's able to create kind of a bridge and it strengthens his base. So he's hard to move. Now, everybody would like to see him on the board. Everybody's, you know, asking, has he gotten rid of his dad bod? Everybody wants him to look like Aiden Hutchinson, who looked like a Greek god as a senior. I didn't ask him about the belly. Who are we to judge, you know, as older men? He's going to play well. I expect him to have, you know, 7-8 sacks just in the regular run of play on standard downs. And then, you know, maybe, you know, I think one thing we need to learn more about him in August is, do they move him inside on those passing downs in a NASCAR package and really take advantage of his ability to use his length in the interior defensive line?
Someone who is lined up for a big senior year. Before we keep going, got to show some love to our sponsor, and that is Academy. In honor of your service and support for our country, Academy Sports and Outdoors is offering military and first responders 10% off your purchase, both in your local Academy Sports and Outdoors and online from April 27th all the way through July 4th. Exclusions apply, but visit academy.com/discount for details. Thank you to Academy.
Hey, perfect day for that. It's D-Day, 81st anniversary of D-Day, and also a perfect timing because it's almost Tahoe time for me, which means I need some more long sleeves to protect me from that sun. You're a lot closer to the sun there. The heat is a lot different.
Elevation, right?
Yep.
Exactly. This is the time of year where we start to learn about some breakout candidates. Around this time last year, Silas Bolden was just showing up on campus, and he started to make his name known throughout some of the offseason workouts. Similarly, at the same position even, DeAndre Moore started working his way up, working his way into conversations about who would be a big contributor for the 2024 season. There are some guys who've already started to, at least are off to the right start in setting themselves up for success in 2025.
Yeah. Hey, we had people saying Matthew Golden is better than Isaiah Bond too. You know, we didn't know exactly how that was going to play out. Bond looked like he's going to be the guy until he got dinged up. Interesting breakout candidates last year. This year's a little bit different because it's very hard to break into the starting lineup to where you're going to make them your most impact plays. Obviously, Vasek is one. Zena Umeozulu, who is also back healthy. We should have mentioned him after his wrist injury in spring. Both those guys are going to have a chance to make plays and flash. A true breakout candidate, that's going to be hard to come by unless they're obvious. You know, Ryan Wingo is certainly one that should be obvious to everybody. You know, maybe Alex January, because it's all about opportunity. Those guys will have opportunity. But some young guys that are making a name for themselves in the program, Grayson Littleton, doing very well in 7-on-7. Very driven young man, has received comparisons to Malik Muhammad. Obviously, Malik Muhammad made an early impact, but there was more opportunity for Malik with the depth chart that Texas had at the time. Landon Jackson, you expect to hear about five stars. Landon Jackson is mentioned. Another guy that's mentioned a lot for his work ethic on top of the natural ability and his length. And there might be some opportunity for him to get on the field too, as Texas is still figuring out who's going to be buck behind Colin Simmons. Those are two. Dalen McCutcheon is another one. You know, Emmett Mosley isn't participating in 7-on-7 yet, so we don't have a true understanding of what the wide receiver depth chart looks like early on. Emmett and Jack Hendry's the tight end from Cal. They're not out there yet simply because they don't know the playbook. They are doing workouts, of course. So we don't have a true understanding of the depth chart. But Dalen McCutcheon looks ready to play, talking to sources. And if something happened to DeAndre Moore, Dalen McCutcheon might be next up for him. So it's all about opportunity. Right now it's a stacked roster with a lot of experience, but there's talent right behind them. It's just, you know, can they break through?
A lot of lineage there at that slot position. And then with Grayson Littleton and Lance Jackson, it's one of those things where, you know, one was committed for so long, even though he rose in the rankings, you kind of just took him for granted. Yeah. And I think you're trying to caution against that in a similar way about Dia Bell right now. He's been committed right over a year, but don't take a top five prospect for granted at all, no matter what position they play. And then for Littleton, it's kind of the other end of the spectrum. He just, boom, pops up on the scene. Texas gets him in for a visit, and he picks the Longhorns. And, you know, now he's here setting himself up for a 2025 season. So it's always interesting to see how maybe the breakout candidacy correlates with, did we have this guy committed for a long time, or did he just pop up and become a name that we need to know? Whereas McCutcheon, you know, it's like, okay, he's an option, he's an option, he's an option. Okay, yeah, the flip is happening, and people know about flips. They're not going to be surprised by a name where Texas had to work to break a commitment somewhere else. So,
but McCutcheon's another caution. Sometimes the lowest guy in a position class ends up being the best. And we're not saying anything like that with Lockett and French or anything. But McCutcheon is off to a faster start, but. You know, I'm not surprised by that. We actually predicted that just because of the way that the makeup of the room. But McCutcheon's going to be a star. And another one that was an afterthought that people took for granted for sure, Emory Winston, could have been mentioned in this article just simply by virtue of how many times he was mentioned throughout the spring. So they evaluate so well that even the young guys, even the guys that are lesser known are absolute studs.
Finally, they are, as we mentioned, using the football out there, getting some action, running routes, things like that. Can't get through this video without mentioning Arch Manning. And one of the things that you put in there is some of the big plays that he's making isn't just throwing it deep downfield.
Yeah, the guy says, you know, that, you know, one of the aspects of Arch that gets slept on, if there is one, I'm not sure that there is one, but this is, you know, his words, is that his ability to fit tight windows. And in 7-on-7, when you've got these hotly contested routes from wide receivers and DBs, a lot of the windows are tight. But Arch is able to fit that ball in there. And it just makes you more excited because we know, you know, he's got the intangibles, the athleticism, the accuracy deep. And then you're hearing you know, about stuff over the middle in a very limited area. Trey Owens was also mentioned, which, you know, you expect Trey Owens to make these throws in 7-on-7. That's the whole reason that he's on campus, is because he can dominate in a drop-back setting. coverage linebackers, you always want to hear about them. Leonga Lafau, I don't know how many times we mentioned him in coverage. That guy's going to pick 3-4 balls this year, I feel pretty good about. And then Ty Anthony Smith, you know, both those guys are basically – not glorified DBs. They're fully grown linebackers. Don't get me wrong. Well, Ty Anthony's still growing into his body. We talked about that in volume two. But their ability, their comfort dropping back and diagonally and finding the hook curl using their eyes. They're just so natural at that. So they always make noise in 7-on-7. And then DeAndre Moore missed spring. He's back and looking like his fast self, confident, making catches. Hopefully the hands are there. If the hands are there, he's going to break out. And I think he's gone after the season. But yeah, there's a lot going on. And then, of course, we're still trying to figure out who the heck's going to play star this season. That's a big question, given the fact that we're focusing on 7-on-7.
Something to track. We'll have that tracked over at InsideTexas.com and here as well. So make sure you like this video. And, of course, head to the link in our description. Go to Inside Texas and subscribe today. All the recruiting intel with official visits coming up. We got our thread running. I think Malachi Lee was the first to make it despite having the longest distance to go. So he's on campus and almost, I think, 15 or so, maybe just less than 15 are going to be joining him here this weekend. So we'll, of course, have recruiting scoop here later in the afternoon, and we'll have recruiting coverage all weekend, full coverage all month, all the way up to the season. So, Eric, thank you. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time on Inside the Program, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors.